Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
And a very good morning on this Thursday, the 4th of August. Welcome to Africa Link. I'm Mark Caldwell in Bonn, Germany. Coming up, it's a day of reckoning in South Africa with vote counting underway after municipal elections. Is the ANC losing its grip on power to the DA or EFF?
Currently, yes, we've got the DA leading, but this is a picture that will change very soon. Every hour there are changes. Every 2 hours there are changes. It will be only clear when we go around 60% of the votes being counted.
And a new leader of Boko Haram is named by Islamic State.
I don't think we know too much about him. The name, firstly, has popped up before, and that was initially in January 2015 when Boko Haram released one of their first videos.
More from that analyst a little later, plus news from Zimbabwe of a protest march against the introduction of a local currency.
Top story.
In South Africa, results from Wednesday's municipal elections, due out later today, will reveal whether the long-ruling African National Congress is losing its grip on power or was able to beat back the two opposition parties, the Democratic Alliance and the Economic Freedom Fighters. Our correspondent in South Africa is Tuzo Kamalo, and earlier this morning I asked him if we knew at this stage whether the ANC was still in control of all the key cities.
Currently, the picture is not yet clear as we speak now. Electoral officers were counting the votes throughout the night. They've only done 40%. And what you should understand is that the 40% that has been done are those areas that have leaky numbers of people compared to other large areas where the ANC is in control. But the picture that we have currently as we speak is that the DA is leading in many of the major cities. And these are places where there are very few people compared to the picture that we have nationally. We have got the ANC at the second place and the EFF is trailing at the third place. But this is not the true picture, because the true picture will only come when we've got the larger parts of the metros and the municipalities. So currently, yes, we've got the DA leading, but this is a picture that will change very soon. Every hour there are changes. Every 2 hours there are changes. But as we see now, it will be only clear when we go around 60% of the votes being counted.
And presumably it's far too early to talk of coalitions at this stage.
It is too early to talk of coalitions. There is only one place in Eastern Cape where already you had ANC getting about 41.1% and the DA getting 41.1%. So it's just a small municipality, very unknown, where already there should be coalitions because it will be hung as we speak. But in most of the metros and the municipalities, no picture of coalitions has been out yet. But we have heard EFF saying they will not go into a coalition with the ANC. And we have heard DA also saying it is very skeptical in going to a coalition with the ANC. But that picture usually gets clearer when the final results are out and people have no options. They end up going to such coalitions.
How important are these municipal elections for South Africa?
This is a very crucial election because South Africa is experiencing a lot of difficulties in terms of the economy, the unemployment. People are so much unhappy with the current ruling ANC. But at the same time, you've got President Zuma having all these problems, legal problems, challenges in courts. So it is a very crucial time for everybody in South Africa. And the DA and the EFF, they are trying to capitalize on that, to tell people that, no, this party cannot be the party you choose. This is not the president that we want for South Africa.
Tuzo Kamalo.
Africa Link, every weekday on DW Deutsche Welle.
The Nigerian militant Islamist group Boko Haram has a new leader who has promised to end attacks on mosques and markets used by Muslims, according to an interview published by the Islamic State group. Abu Musab al-Banawi was named as the replacement for Mohammed Shekau. So far, Boko Haram's insurgency has killed more than 20,000 people and driven more than 2 million from their homes. It has also created what aid workers call a catastrophic humanitarian emergency. Isaac Mugabe asked security analyst Ryan Cummings what was known about the new Boko Haram leader.
Much about him. The name, firstly, has popped up before, and that was initially in January 2015 when Boko Haram released one of their first videos via the Indissoluble Link media mouthpiece. And at that time, Mr. al-Banawi served as a spokesman for the group and was, of questions regarding what Boko Haram's intentions were, but also denied a lot of the report that the group was going around in rural northeastern Nigeria and massacring Muslim civilians, which I guess is a current theme that we've seen in this latest communique in which the individual, the proposed leader of the Islamic State of West Africa province has stated that he will no longer target mosques, for example, in Borno State, in acts of targeted violence.
What do you know about the fate of Abubakar Shekau at this moment? Could he still be alive or injured, as has been widely speculated?
Well, we don't really know too much about the leadership structure of Boko Haram and even less of the Islamic State in West Africa province. To date, they've almost the two terms or the two names for the group have been used interchangeably, but we don't really know if they are indeed the same. The Islamic State of West Africa province could be a larger organization of which Boko Haram has only formed one of the various factions. This could still indicate, for example, that Abubakar Shekau is a leader within the Boko Haram movement, but that he is second in command or possibly just a sub-leader, if I can call it that, to a to Mr. al-Banawi.
Is the Boko Haram insurgency bound to take a new dimension now that the Islamic State is playing a role in the group's operations and leadership?
Well, again, very difficult to say because we have any definitive evidence that the linkages between Boko Haram and the Islamic State has been forged. I think what is conspicuous was that Boko Haram pledged its allegiance to the Islamic State in March 2015, and that pledge of allegiance, or bayah as it's known, was accepted by the Islamic State. But since then, we have no discernible evidence to suggest that the two groups have been operating or that the Islamic State has been providing any form of logistical operational patronage to Boko Haram.
Security analyst Ryan Cummings. Meanwhile, the first batch of Boko Haram militants who surrendered to Nigerian government troops has been taken to a centre where they will undergo a de-radicalisation programme. Up to 800 former Boko Haram fighters are taking part in the programme, dubbed Operation Safe Corridor, which was launched in the northeastern state of Gombe on Tuesday. From northern Nigeria, Muhammad Al-Amin reports.
Former Boko Haram jihadists now have a second chance to become contributing members of the Nigerian societies. Under the government's Operation Safe Corridor, a new counter-terrorism strategy, these ex-combatants are being offered amnesty in exchange of their commitment to the government's de-radicalization program. The government's plan is to change the mindset of the youth in the region as a way of dying of Boko Haram's recruitment ground. Brigadier General Bamidele Shafa, coordinator of Operation Safe Corridor, said this program is part of the new effort in the fight against Boko Haram.
Operation Safe Corridor is a federal government initiative designed to de-radicalize, rehabilitate, and reintegrate willing and repentant Boko Haram who have come out to surrender to the military.
General Shafa added that between September last year and February this year, a high number of Boko Haram fighters willingly surrendered their arms. Gombe State Governor Ibrahim Hassan Dankombo said his office is open to any efforts to helping youth in the region.
We will collaborate with you in any kind of initiation that you bring to ensure that these people are resettled, they are reintegrated back into the society, and they continue to behave as normal and like any other citizen of this country.
while helping the ex-combatants. Executive Secretary of Human Rights Commission Ben Angure urged the federal government to protect the rights of surrendered Boko Haram fighters.
People who are captured, people who are surrendered, they must not be attacked. They must be given the treatment which their circumstances and conditions deserve. It is also advisable that the federal government do also put in place some initiatives that will compensate the other members of the public who have become victims of this.
When President Muhammadu Buhari took office a year ago, he vowed to end Nigeria's 14-year-long Islamist insurgency. It is now apparent that the new counter-terrorism strategy is part of his plan to do so.
Mohamed Al-Amin reporting. Riot police in Zimbabwe used tear gas and water cannon on Wednesday to break up a protest by hundreds of demonstrators who had gathered in Harare in a fresh outburst of opposition to the rule of President Robert Mugabe. This time, the demonstrators were protesting against the introduction of bond notes, a surrogate currency. Many Zimbabweans fear the bond notes could revive the hyperinflation that destroyed the economy in 2008 and 9. From Harare, Privilege Mushaniri reports.
Iswati Kendenge, in local language meaning, we do not care, nor to bond notes. This was the main message on Wednesday as hundreds of protesters marched on the streets of Harare against the government's plans to introduce a new form of currency. Beginning October, bond notes will become Zimbabwe's new legal tender alongside foreign currencies, mainly the US dollar, which is currently short in supply. These protesters are not happy about the plan.
I don't want this tissue paper that they're going to introduce. I'm comfortable with the US dollar. We don't want to go back to the years of poverty and hunger. No ways. We are tired.
The bond notes have been rejected, and they've been rejected wholesomely. They are an undemocratic, an economic, and unfiscal experiment which is meant to steal money from the people and leave them with useless papers, which does not have any value in the economy.
No, oh no, we'll go back to 2008 where there was nothing on the shelves. No, no, the government must make a plan.
Demonstrators denounce President Mugabe, accusing his ruling ZANU-PF party of failing to manage the struggling economy. Police kept watch as the marchers presented a petition at the offices of the Minister of Finance in central Harare. But baton-wielding police charged at the protesters as they approached Parliament building, beating them until they dispersed. Three journalists, including a BBC camera person, were also beaten and in the process lost their equipment. Some protesters responded by throwing rocks at the police, who later fired tear gas. Advocate Fadzai Mahere, who has challenged authorities on the introduction of the bond notes, say government must uphold the constitution and abandon the intended plans.
There's no legal framework or basis for the introduction of bond notes, and our constitution compels every administrative authority to act within the law. So they can't expect to get our trust or our confidence if they're not acting within the framework of the law. It amounts to asking us to play a game where there are no rules and they've got all the power and all the might.
Former Vice President Joyce Mujuru, sacked by Mugabe in 2014 on Monday, filed a constitutional challenge on the legality of the intended currency. Zimbabwe has witnessed several anti-government protests in recent months, including the biggest stay-at-home demonstration by activist pastor Ivan Mawarire's Hatch This Flag movement in July.
Privilege Mushaniri in Harare. And now, as always on a Thursday, it's time to join the Learning by Ear team.
Deutsche Welle, Learning by Ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Greetings and a warm welcome to Learning by Ear. Thank you for joining us for this eighth episode of our ongoing radio drama series, The Promised Land, A Story of African Migration to Europe. In the last episode, Linda was taken shopping by her suspiciously generous friend Florence, who seems to be plotting something. Back home in Africa, Linda's parents were laid off from work. Mr. Maraga was totally devastated until his wife suggested that Linda could help them financially now that she's in Europe. Linda and her parents seem to be living in two different worlds, all of them keeping secrets from each other. What will happen now as the plot continues to thicken? Let's find out in today's episode, which is called Life in a Bubble. We join the story right where we left it, with Linda and Florence sitting together, talking in a fast food restaurant.
Listen, if you want to make it here in Europe as a migrant, then you need to legalize yourself.
Legalize myself? I don't understand. I came here legally on a student visa.
Shh, keep your voice down, Linda. I know you came here as a student, but there are a lot of restrictions on foreign students. What I meant is that you need to get a work permit.
All right. And how do you suggest I should go about this?
By saying, I do.
You mean by getting married?
Yeah.
But how will marrying Shivasi help to legalize my status here? I don't get it.
Shivasi? Hey, Chik, you're even more naive than I thought. Okay, from now on, Linda, Shivasi is out of the picture. You have to marry a European.
What? I may be a long way away from Shivasi, but I still love him.
Okay, fine. You can keep on loving him. That's no problem at all. I can arrange for you to marry someone discreetly. All you have to do is act as if you're a married couple. Before long, you'll have your work visa, and then you can do whatever you want.
Just like that?
Uh-huh.
I don't believe you. What's the catch? I mean, earlier on you talked about having to be patient and make sacrifices.
You're right. There's a small catch. You'll have to pay the fake husband a little money.
Pay him?
Yeah.
And how am I supposed to raise the money to do that when I don't even have a job?
Oh, don't worry. If you decide that this is really what you want, the rest will take care of itself. You'll pay the money in installments every month from the day you marry to the day you get your papers.
So, in other words, it will be like I've really bought the papers, but through a fake marriage, right?
Right.
But Flo, what if the man wants more than just the money? How would I handle that? I mean, legally. After all, we'll be married.
He won't do that. He has no right. And if he does, well, then it's up to you. Some people have gone through with a fake marriage and later they've fallen in love.
No, not me. I came here to study, and if I decide to do this, it will only be because I want to earn some extra money for my studies and have a good life here.
Oh, good, good. So, does that mean you're in? Are you ready to take the chance?
I don't know yet, Flo. It's not something you do lightly. I think I need some time to think.
Oh, that's fine. Okay. Oh, excuse me. It's a call from home. Hello, Florence speaking.
Hello. I'm very sorry to bother you, but I'm Linda Maraga's father. She called me from your phone when she first arrived in Europe, and I thought that perhaps I could give you a message for her.
Oh, what a coincidence. Linda is sitting here right next to me. I'll pass you on to her. Linda, it's your father. He has a message for you.
Oh, okay, thanks. Dad, is everything okay?
Yes, Linda. We are fine.
Oh, thank God. I thought something awful must have happened. So, what was it you wanted to tell me?
Linda, I don't want to worry you, but your mother and I, we are being laid off from work.
Oh no, Dad. I'm so sorry. How are you taking it?
We are okay. Linda, I can't talk for long. I'm almost out of credit. What I wanted to...
Dad? Hello, Dad? Are you still there? Oh, he's gone.
Linda, is everything okay?
Find me a job, Florence, quickly. And while you're at it, find me a European husband, too.
The news that her parents have been laid off work seems to Linda to justify what she's about to do. Listening to her father trying to hide his fear has made things seem even more desperate. Meanwhile, in the north of Africa, there have been increasing political protests, and now violence has broken out, displacing thousands of people from their homes and forcing them to seek shelter in refugee camps. Farahani and Sule are caught up in the chaos, and it's beginning to take a toll on their friendship.
Farahani, even the sea is not as calm as it used to be. I'm afraid for my family, for my country, and for us. Let's flee now while we still can.
And go where?
Where? Anywhere but here. Many people have fled to our neighboring countries.
Neighboring countries? Sule, we see violence all around us on a daily basis. What's going on now is bad. But it's only going to get worse. How do we know the fighting won't spread across the border? This would be the best time for us to migrate to Europe, my friend.
Farahani, wake up. Stop living in this dream of yours. Our country is descending into civil war and all you can think of is Europe. Africa might not be the easiest place to live, but this is where you belong. The least you can do is show it some loyalty.
Don't you talk to me about my moral duties. If you want to go to another African country, then be my guest. Just leave me out of it. Sule, is that clear? Leave me alone.
You know what? I will leave you alone. I should have done so a long time ago, but better late than never. Good luck with your European dream, Farahani.
Sule! Sule! I'm sorry. Hey! Wait for me! We are brothers, remember?
Brothers stick together. You only want what's best for you.
Sule! Sule! Sule!
Farahani stops and gazes out to sea, towards the lights of Europe. He has to make a choice. Stick with his friend or pursue his European dream alone. What will he decide? Stay tuned and you'll find out. Meanwhile, Florence has wasted no time finding a job for Linda, who desperately needs to earn some money, not only to support her life in Europe, but also for her unemployed parents back home. We join Linda on her first day at work, where Sandra, another African migrant worker, is there to welcome her.
So, Linda, this is your new workplace. You'll be taking orders from the clients and going to the bar to get their drinks. It's as simple as that. If you have any questions, just ask Sandra here.
But this place is...
Hi, I'm Sandra. Don't worry, you'll get used to it. The first few nights might be a bit tough, but as soon as you find your feet, you'll be amazed how much money you can earn in a night. Just in tips.
Hi, Sandra. I'm Linda. Do you know how late we have to work?
We work until the last client leaves the club. I reckon we'll be here till the morning.
And the pay? How much do you earn?
That depends. Look, Linda, I shouldn't tell you this, but I'm working here illegally. I have no papers, so I rely on getting tips from the clients. Mm-hmm. The actual wages are pretty bad. Sometimes I don't get paid at all. But let's go to work now. There's a client waving at us. You go over there and serve him.
Okay, sure.
Hey, Peter, look who's coming in.
Good evening. What can I get you?
Oh, a new face. And a pretty one, too.
Take your hands off me.
I like you. You've got spirit.
Don't touch me.
Here, here. Get us a beer and you're keep the change, please.
Linda, what are you doing? Do you want to chase away the clients?
Sandra, did you say that he was trying to touch me? I couldn't let him do that. I'd rather quit.
Linda, I told you the first nights would be tough. But you need to remember the golden rule. The customer is always right. What did you want to drink?
Beer. He gave me 20 euros and said that I should keep the change.
See? You're a very lucky lady. Your first client and you get such big tip.
I have a question.
Now, we're at work, Linda. People in Europe work very hard. Every minute counts, okay? Quick, what is it you want to know?
Who's the owner of this club?
Why do you ask that? It doesn't matter who owns it. Come on, time to work now.
That brings us to the end of the 8th episode of our radio drama series, The Promised Land, a story of African migration to Europe. Is it true that life will get better for Linda now that she's got a job? And is this the end of Farahani and Sule's friendship? Don't miss the next installment. Meanwhile, join us on facebook.com/DW.LBE to air your views on the financial pressures facing African migrants in Europe and the need to send money home. Until next time, goodbye.
Our main story here on Africa Link, vote counting is underway in South Africa's municipal elections. Results out later today will show whether the ANC is losing its grip on power or was able to beat back a challenge from two opposition parties. Some Olympic news from Brazil. In the women's soccer in Sao Paulo, Germany beat Zimbabwe 6-1. It was Zimbabwe's first goal in an international tournament. We welcome your comments on this programme. You can send an email to feedback.africa@dw.com or a letter to Africa Link, DW 53110, Bonn, Germany. From me, Mark Caldwell. Bye now.